Part 6. Teachers talking about teaching.
I still think that charts have a place in the classroom because it just creates a different atmosphere and it brings about some calm into the children. And I think to a certain extent they appreciate it because it also gives them something to look at, especially when I make reference to it in a lesson. Charts are related to topics that I deal with in the lessons. Sometimes the children participate in making the charts and sometimes I do it myself. For instance, a concept that is difficult for them to understand, I'll try and make up a chart so that when that topic comes up in a lesson, I can refer to it in the classroom. Then also, I believe discipline plays an important part in creating an atmosphere for learning. I do like being the center of attention. And I say that to them, that in order for you to learn, you need to be focused on what's going to happen. So I ensure that that everyone's undivided attention is given to me before I start with the lesson.
I'm not a teacher who believes that children learn strictly only from a teacher and that the teacher is the know-all who knows everything. Children learn an awful lot from each other. I believe they learn from teachers, and I can tell you as a teacher, I learn an enormous lot from children. But you've got to provide the environment for it. You've got to provide the freedom, and with that comes a whole lot of social norms and structures that have to be put into place. You can't allow children to have discussions where they go wild and they're talking completely across each other and there's chaos where they can't actually listen to one another. There's certain skills that have to be taught, and I think you have to be fairly sort of calm in your personality in terms of creating that environment.
In my classroom, I make sure that my children work in groups because within a group they can learn and share ideas. But I also make sure that they have to be able to work on their own. When I give them an activity, I explain to them that I want you to go through it, and if you have problems, we will discuss about it. So each one of them at that point will sit down, go through the instructions, and thereafter I will tell them that now it's time to talk about those instructions with everybody else within a group. I want you to tell others what is it that is expected from you. I'll ask the child, do you understand what is it that we have to do? What are we going to do now? And then a child will look at me maybe and say, I don't know. In most cases, when a child says, I don't know, it doesn't necessarily mean she doesn't know. It might be that I'm not sure. So I try and find out what is it that she thinks has to be done. And I'll ask, have you read this? A lot of things pose a problem to children. So as a teacher, I have to find out what is the actual problem. And I will not find out if I do not try and dig deeper.
Questions for me is to see whether the child is still with me. It's one of the attention span techniques that I use to see. Sometimes you get the feel where, especially if you are addressing a large group, that some of the children tend to get lost, their minds wander. So if you want them to come back to the discussion, you ask them a question just to see whether they were listening to what you were saying, and you get them back to the lesson. And it's also a technique for me to see whether they have grasped what you have said. And it's also a technique whereby the teacher could focus on the child's understanding by coming up with challenging questions and to see their point of view on the whole matter, to make them think critically. I do believe that group work has a big part to play in the classroom. It's not just a matter of sitting together and talking. There's a group leader, there's a timekeeper, there's someone that records, there's someone that reports back, and there's also someone that ensures that everyone participates. And then time is allocated for the activity to happen, and afterwards feedback is given. And then we go into the phase where we try and consolidate, get feedback from the groups, and see whether there's any similarities that came out from the groups or any differences, and then we try and come up with a summary, basically, of what has been learned throughout the session. And then we go back to strengthening their retention span, where I consolidate what they've learned from the beginning up to the stage where they were split into groups. And then I consolidate it further by giving them written work.
When they start working, I make sure that they work on their own. Because for one to learn, one has to be ready and be comfortable and know what she has to do.
I try and draw on their previous experience before I start a lesson, because I believe that the experience that the children have is relevant to any lesson and any circumstances. And I try to get them to share with me through the means of questioning techniques. Sometimes direct, sometimes indirect, and sometimes challenging ones, just to get a feel of whether they understand the topic that is being dealt with for the day. Then I make a reference to some of the charts that are in the classroom, or I make reference to their everyday experiences, which relates to the media, whichever one it may be that they can relate to more easily. And then I move into the more formal step, which is basically what we know as lecturing. But it doesn't entail the entire lesson.
I'm quite a big believer in the fact that you've got to allow space for learning to happen. I do not believe the children should be in straight rows, silent, doing, carrying out instructions as the teacher says, and only those instructions. You've got to provide room for the children to experience things, to swap ideas, to swap information, and possibly for you to guide and steer where their conversations are going to, so that they're actually picking up on things that are meaningful.
I'm particularly interested in the thoughts of a person like Edward de Bono, which I've tried to bring into my creative writing teaching and to teaching them. I did that random input with them as an exercise, whereby you think of anything at random and you come up with a list of ideas surrounding the topic or the item. It could be anything that you come up with, a word, and then you think about things similar, synonymous to that word, and then you get your ideas from there. So I told them that that is a way that they can use to write better essays, to think creatively, and they can also use it in ordinary day life. And as much as I've discovered taking them through the process and eventually bringing them to that step where they have to implement what they have learned, it seems like it's futile in the end. They still prefer the way they know because of their fear for the unknown.
If you are really a dedicated teacher, you have got to constantly be looking at what you're doing, how you're doing what you're doing, and why you're doing what you're doing. And then to be quite critical of yourself. Was that worthwhile or wasn't it? Did it work or didn't it? If it did, why? What could you have done to make it work? What could be better next time? And it's not just a process of having to think about it. Teachers need desperately, particularly if they're going to be teaching more or less the same age for more than 2 or 3 years, to make notes, because you forget. And you need to know that this never worked because of this. So next time, let me try something different. Let me have the notes, one per child instead of the notes one between two. You need to actually constantly be doing that. But more important than that, I feel it's very important that teachers need to talk with each other about why they do things and what works and doesn't work. Because it's only through talking through others that you get fresh ideas. And I think it helps you develop a philosophy.
We have come to the end of this audio tape. You might remember that we learnt about the importance of unlearning in teaching. We also learnt about the importance of using action and conflict to assist learners to unlearn their misconceptions. We also learnt that the everyday knowledge of learners had to be developed into deeper conceptual understandings of the world. And finally, we found out that reading and books remain one of the most important parts of all good learning. We hope you enjoyed the tape and found it educationally useful. Return to it often. Listen to it in parts and as a whole. You will find that each time you listen to it, you will understand old ideas in whole new ways. Good luck in your studies.